Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe always takes Friday off, and that leaves the chair open for Mr. Ben Reichle, star of, Comcast Cable, right, up in the Williamsport region?
Occasionally? Every now and then. But we'll do a game tonight, big game tonight. We'll talk about that later, though.
Okay, we'll do that near the end of the show. But we are going to be talking about joblessness, which is not something that's on the increase, as you just heard from CBS. U.S. unemployment rate is still 3.7%, as mandated by Bob Garrett in his memo yesterday. That's the same rate as the month before. 130,000 new jobs created, and he greatly underestimated the amount of wage growth around here. He said 3.1, but it turned out to be 3.2. So if you got to be wrong, buddy,
I'll put those 3 cents in my pocket, right? Yeah, I'll pocket
right.
What is 0.1%? That's 0.3 of a penny. So, just so if you want to do the math.
So what are you saying? Yeah.
What I'm saying is I was darn close. You know, the 130 number, Mark, was a little lower than what we thought, although we knew August was going to be soft. And the reason for that is it's really not truly an economic reason. It's because people are on vacation and not available to answer the surveys when the Bureau of Labor Statistics send them out. So that's really what's happening there. So we'll probably see an adjustment back up come September, unless something crazy happens later this month. But we're right on track. You know, we were really, the thing we were most watching for, we didn't want to go under 100,000 jobs in any month. That would really add to the rumors, the fears of a recession. So we're very solid.
Are the rumors or fears, or the media trying to promote recession?
Right. They're going to talk us into it one way or the other.
Participation rate, though, is up to 63.2, so that's climbing. And go back to the media. We'll see how they report on this. And again, you can look around at the different stations or the different publications, and you can see which side's spinning which side.
Right. And welcome to the roller coaster ride known as the stock market.
Mm-hmm. Right. So to be continued. We're going to keep exploring this. We have a great panel. We're going to introduce the whole group. We are going to talk about these jobless numbers, and we have a great guest on the telephone line who's going to be joining us, and she's going to help us not only talk about the jobless numbers, but also help us talk about, for those individuals, either families in the margin, those affected by the ALICE segment of our population, or just about anybody out there that's ready to move up in a business or field or industry or their chosen career, there's some simple kind of go-to advice and information we're going to be talking about today. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. We would just love to hear from you today. So, Bob Garrett, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, is with us. Ben Reichle is our co-host. Sue Green is back. She's chair of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, and she's got a new job title, which is she's soon going to be a senior learning strategist at Penn State. So, Sue, congratulations.
Thank you.
I know that's a promotion because you are definitely upwardly mobile within the Penn State organization. So, and plus, it's about 6 words shorter than the previous one. That doesn't bother me either.
So, good morning.
Yeah, congratulations. Thanks for coming in. We have two individuals that are going to join us. One telephonically, Susan Spry is on the news line. She's from Luzerne County Community College. She's the vice president for Applied Technologies and and Workforce Development. She's based out of Nanticoke, but you can see her popping up all over our valley, making sure that the university is, or the community college, is right where it needs to be to make sure that they can raise up people of all ages to fit into the available jobs in the region. Good morning, Susan. Thanks for checking in today.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
I do appreciate that. And Christina Herman joins us. She's from the CSIU. She's a career-ready specialist. She also works with and for the State Department of Education. Christina, thank you so much for coming in.
Good morning.
I do appreciate it. Thank you. Yep, move even closer to that mic if you don't mind. Yep, there we go. Perfect. Thank you. All right, well, let's do the jobless numbers. I always start directly across from me with Ben. Jobless figures, same unemployment rate. We're talking ourselves into a recession if we keep it up. But so far, no empirical evidence thereof.
No, 130, a little lower than they wanted last month, a little higher than they thought. So if you even it out, you're looking at over 140, I think, through the summertime. Not too bad from a standpoint. Where we're at now is we'll see the Fed chairman talk today. I think he's over in Switzerland, I believe. So, solid numbers. The economy's on, and it's on good footing. Even though the some parts of the media want to talk recession, it's hard when you see the numbers. And also too, this administration, the Trump administration's a bit different than others, and I think they're also setting an economic tone that's far different, meaning that they're going after the trade policies and they're going after fiscal policies that aren't in the best interest of the United States. So we'll see what happens. But the Fed today will set up for hopefully a little bit of business consistency towards the end of the year and what the Fed talks about today.
All right, Bob, your reaction. We're watching as this U.S. economy has been growing and then tapering off very slightly. This is more of the same this month.
Yeah, I think what I mentioned earlier was the as long as we're over 100,000, we're foundationally growing, meaning
100,000 new jobs.
100,000 new jobs each month. It takes about 100,000 new employees, new jobs coming into the labor force to replace those that are leaving the labor force, either retirements or alignments. There's a lot of focus on the manufacturing sector. Right now, the manufacturing sector has been slightly soft. Most of that, you can point at it, but this is what Ben was just talking about, was with the trade wars, with some of those conversations. It's almost like when we talk about a road construction project and we talk about temporary inconvenience for long-term improvement. The thought is that we're basically restructuring the foundation of the American economy, and manufacturing is taking the brunt of that right now. Healthcare, education, hospitality are all growing. Manufacturing softened up a bit. Jobs were down about 8,000 jobs in the manufacturing sector. But as they said on the CBS at the bottom of the hour, that there's a very good chance we're going to see a return of that later this year as some of these things start to level out. We saw that yesterday in the market when the news was better yesterday morning when it comes to trade, and the market was on fire because of that. As Ben pointed out, the Fed chief is going to be talking at 12:30 this afternoon. Watch the market go crazy while he's giving his speech. So welcome to pretty much status quo when it comes to the national labor picture. 3.7%, that's 7 months in a row that it's been at that number. It's been under 4% for 17 months in a row. And of course, the unemployment rate is currently matching its 50-year low. So this we need to find new things to talk about other than the national economy, and that's why we have the guests we have with us to bring that focus into the local economy. And I think you know from last month when I was here, the Snyder County's unemployment skyrocketed to the highest in the state. It stayed there for another month. It actually went up 0.1%. That is almost entirely the Woodmote employees out looking for work. That inspired last month the question, a caller called in with a question is, well, what do people do that are in the middle of their career? How do they get career ready? And how do they get future ready? And that's why we put together the panel that we have today of Christine and Susan to answer some of those questions. And a new data set that we're going to be introducing, I think folks have probably heard about it, ALICE. ALICE stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Yet Employed Individuals. And you and I would probably know those as the working poor. And we have a story to tell about the ALICE statistics that have just, our fresh statistics came out over the summer that have been shepherded by the United Way.
All right, and that group may have individuals in there that are interested in our conversation. Let's wrap up our jobless reaction first. Sue, how does a Penn State senior learning strategist and chair of a regional chamber react to jobless numbers that Bob just took about 5 minutes to call them status quo?
Well, status quo, you know, Mark, I hesitate with that, but I will say, though, trying to make sure we have resources for folks from the chamber's perspective, from the Penn State executive program side of the house, we're also looking to, like, how do we keep people employed, make more on the employer side, frankly, than we look at the individuals of offering resources for them to continue with supply chain and making sure their leaders are efficient and productive. And we're boots on the ground working with people. So that's our main focus.
Well, making sure that Penn State's executive programs and all other programs for continuing education are tailoring individuals to fit what companies need, or that individuals in those companies, who those women and men that have an interest in moving up and learning more and doing more and being more, that they have an opportunity to study up and do that.
Well, absolutely. And retention is key. You know, so we want to keep the people that are employed and give them a reason to stay employed and stay with organizations, and then have a thought on what do we do with the folks that aren't. So I think some of our resources that we brought to the table today we'll hear more about.
Susan, your thoughts on the jobless numbers? I think there's job security in here for you. The lower the jobless rate, the more likely you're going to have to work even harder to make sure that the individuals and the companies are working together. Your reaction to the jobless numbers?
Right. There's actually an inverse relationship at community colleges with a robust economy and our student numbers. Although we don't complain about that, we want the numbers, the unemployment numbers, to be low. Similar to what Sue mentioned, we do, most of our students at this point are working. Sometimes they're not sustainable. To Bob Garrett's point. They can't really make it in the employment scenario they're in. So education does provide a pathway toward greater sustainability for families and, you know, their wages. So we actually, our average student is, the average age is in their late 20s, and most of those folks are working in some capacity and attending school. So our new Watsontown site that we opened a few weeks ago hopefully will provide some access to those who want to have a transfer program through a community college, or those who want programs that will get them in and out of a training scenario and into a better paying job.
Right. Christina, if you would help us from your perspective as a CSIU Career Ready Specialist, when you see the jobless number is the same, 130,000 new jobs and a 3.2% wage rate, your reaction?
It's really about, for me, life-sustaining wages, and I think that people in our area, even though the numbers are really great from a statewide perspective, I think when you look at our region and some of the pockets that we do really struggle with either finding life-sustaining wages and building skills, I think there's a lot of information that people don't know that are out there that can help them address our area, that really there are some low points for folks, and the numbers don't feel the same for them as they do maybe for the state level, because when you look at some of those stats that really don't look the same even in Union or some of the counties in our area, it's concerning to them, and they're probably not nearly as excited to hear those numbers because they're feeling it very differently.
Well, that's exactly where I think we want to segue into this, because I think somebody may be out there and saying, boy, they're talking about this booming economy. Everything's going great. You know, here I am stuck at the red light in Norrie.
Right.
I'm going to the same job I've been at it a while, and I'm the same as I ever was. I'd like to be more. You hear that. Mm-hmm. When you hear that thought, you react.
So one of the things I think is hugely challenging for folks, and I think that people are spending a whole lot more time understanding this now because of what you just talked about, and it really is about looking to build an opportunity for me or myself to get out of what I'm living in terms of my current circumstances. So the right training, training that's short-term, you know, educating themselves to really understand what opportunities are in their local area. I think people that are in the middle of a situation that you guys described, that it's fairly new to me, the Alice report, I've been doing a little bit more research on that. I think those folks, maybe just giving them a buoy to feel like they are not, there is opportunity out there that they might not be familiar with. And so I think that's our job as an economy and in a local community to get that information in front of them and what are some of those resources.
All right, and what do you do for the CSIU? Explain what a Career Ready Specialist does.
Sure. So I work with all of the school districts in the CSIU footprint, and I work with a larger footprint. It's called the PREP region, and that's through the Career Ready PA initiative. So economic development is a big focus, and so my primary job is to work, build relationships with folks in school districts, provide trainings that really bring best practice to school districts that, from a state perspective, from a national perspective, that are meaningful programs to help them build like comprehensive career development programming that really integrate the career education and work standards, build, you know, school guidance programs that really have kids future ready by the time they are ready to take that first step out of high school. They know what they're looking at. They're much more informed. It's more meaningful. I think one of the most exciting things that I get a chance to do is bring industry and school district staff together and really start talking about what are some meaningful career pathways that we can establish for kids while they're in school, get them out there, get a chance to take a look and see, bring some of those folks from the community into school districts, which is not something new, but I think it's trying to build something more viable and getting folks to the table like teachers to go out in the workplace.
Susan, what do you do? Explain what your work is and how that fits into our conversation about folks that are interested in maybe bettering themselves or kind of moving up the career ladder.
Right. So our, as I had mentioned, our average student is probably already working, although very possibly not in anything that's a sustainable wage for a family. So our mission is really to work with both underprepared people in terms of academic skills as well as those at the very high end. So that's one of the wonderful things about working at a community college is we have such a diverse student population. And the message we want to communicate is that learning is a lifelong pursuit, so that whereas possibly a generation or two ago, if you got some kind of higher education, you were pretty well done, in today's work world, my area is workforce development, in today's work world, you're constantly learning, whether that's through your job in a formal setting and in an informal setting. You know, we often talk about the fact that we don't even know what jobs are going to exist in several years. So the K-12 district, higher ed, all has to be agile in terms of coming up with those high-demand program opportunities to train people. And also kind of those essential skills, we call them, sometimes they're referred to as soft skills, are critically important to learn how to work on teams, to learn critical thinking, problem solving, all of those skills that go across any type of job and career ladder that a person might be looking at. So community college really is essentially a workforce development engine of any communities that we are in. So again, we're really delighted to be in the Watsontown site now to hopefully help engage some people there for higher education.
Sue Green, what's Penn State up to when it comes to making sure that they're part of this conversation about continuing education and making sure that career upgrades are a talked about topic?
Well, it's interesting because we're really passionate, too, about workforce development and have been in my role 15 years now. And the executive ed side, we want to make sure that we've got pay-as-you-go folks. It's interesting. We tend to see a lot from employers promoting within, But we do have individuals that will say, just, you know, I'm in this in between. You know, I don't have a position currently, or I've been downsized, or whatever that looks like. And we have open programs at Penn State up at the Nittany Lion Inn. We immerse folks for 2 or 3 days, and people can earn a professional certificate. It's not credit bearing, so the pricing is, you know, realistic. And so that's what we do, you know, and they tend to fall in what we're now calling professional skills instead of soft skills. And it's interesting how that terminology seems to be shifting, because I've been saying soft skills for forever. And recently I see this just shifting now that we're going to call them professional skills, which there's truth to that.
Getting up on time, being conversational.
Absolutely.
Staying late sometimes if that's what it calls for. All right, well, we're going to ask our caller on the line, Susan Spry from Luzerne County Community College, to hold. Christina Herman is here from the CSIU, Sue Green, chair of the chamber and the director senior learning strategist at Penn State.
It's going to be a little bit here.
It's easier, but it's harder. And Bob Garrett, of course, from the Chamber, and Ben Reichley, who is a businessman in his own right, very informed on all of these topics, and he's been a self-employed businessman in our region, so he brings his perspective, too. We'll take a quick break. We're going to continue our conversation talking about opportunities, upgrades, enhancements, learning, and just generally being more in the workplace momentarily.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Financial Friday has a few moments before we get to the top of the hour. We got Susan Spry from Luzerne County Community College on the line in the studio. Chris Herman is from the CSIU. Sue Green's here, is from Penn State. Bob Garrett of the Chamber, and Ben Reichley is a regional businessman and our good conservative co-host, but he's an American first, he'll tell you. Let's start out with Chris and talk about the idea. I'm in a dead-end job. I use the analogy, I'm at a red light, and I realize that I'm waiting for something to turn green in my life.
Yep.
Where do you start? What's out there?
Well, truthfully, I always say Google becomes your best friend. And I say that because even though I've been a resident in the Williamsport area and I'm familiar with Pennsylvania, this region is something I wanted to really become more of an expert on. So I do things like just type in, what are the top 10 careers that are in demand, short-term education, and it really gives you a lot of information. So I believe online and print research is going to be critical to start. Doesn't take long. You can get lots of information at your fingertips. I think learning about who you really are. If you're in your mid-career, you've got a lot on your side. Experience, knowledge, wisdom. You can't put a price tag on that. And employers, comparatively to someone who's graduating out of high school or with a college degree, if you're in your mid-career, you've got to remember that's a selling point for you. So people underestimate that and are intimidated by not having, quote-unquote, the right training and education. But for me, that's a big piece. I think the other thing is there are a lot of resources, whether it's careerbuilder.com or indeed.com. The biggest thing for folks to consider is in their own area, if they were trying to look at and understand, there are things that they can access that they maybe don't have a frame of reference for. Adult ed classes have been around for a long time, but whether you're 24 or 44, there are short-term, very low, inexpensive opportunities at like the Career and Tech Centers, Santa Ana Technical Institute. You can get a CNA program for very, very little money, and that certification can can get you there. There are 1- and 2-year programs at community colleges, and I know we've mentioned that, but there are 100 different sites around Pennsylvania that you could walk into, pay very little money, be done with your training, and have CNC or machining or, you know, something in the healthcare or construction industry that are really viable options that I think people don't understand or aware that how valuable they are, with the exception that 4 years or more is not the best route for folks to look at, and only route. They're also pretty costly. And so if I'm in the mid-career, I maybe just need to think about, I even look at CSIU and some of the programs that they have. I am impressed. I will be honest with you. I was not as familiar, and I am so pleased to say to you that there are programs that CSIU's goal was really about workforce development in so many ways. And so Watch program, that's a program that is really based for folks to take a look at training and education in the healthcare field, other programs very similar to that.
Susan, you stay on the line. You're going to get the exact same question 6.5 minutes from now. What's a good starting point? What resources are out there? Where do people start? Maybe also, I'll put to you and the same to Susan Green, Sue Green, this idea of where do you get that inspiration? You know, what's your sort of red light moment for folks? So we're going to be talking about that. You're listening to News Radio 1070, WDKOK Sunbury. You are listening to On the Markets, our Financial Friday. We did the jobless numbers. No change in the jobless numbers, but we have folks that may be looking for better jobs or to better themselves. We'll continue that. This is WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Please check out your vehicular needs being met at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We're doing Financial Friday. We're getting some reaction to the jobless numbers that stayed the same, which is just super news to most of our panelists here today. Bob Garrett is here, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. Sue Green, Chair of the Chamber, and she is a senior learning strategist at Penn State. One of the many young people around here who gets senior status because of their wisdom. And in radio, you get it because of age, but she didn't need that requirement, so that worked out to her advantage. Sue Green, welcome aboard, Sue.
Thanks
for coming in. Christina Herman is here, the CSIU, a career-ready specialist, and also working with the Department of Education, as she mentioned, making sure that job ready is not just a clever phrase, but it's something that high schoolers learn about, turning high schools into basically little community colleges. We got a tour of the Central Columbia High School. I don't know if you've ever been there, but they've basically turned that into a college campus up there. They crank out every single student. You ask a sophomore up there what you want to be when they grow up, they may say, I don't know, but they won't say that out loud. You got to pick. You know, you got to have a direction. And Susan Spry is on the line, Luzerne County Community College Vice President for Applied Technologies and Workforce Development. We're talking about how folks in the middle, whether it's families on the margin, this ALICE group, income limited group, or just everyone else, gets the inspiration to better themselves and to be more in their workplace or to do other things. Susan, the same question for you. What is out there? Where might one begin, Susan?
Sure. So it seems to me there might be two scenarios that people are looking at, to make a lateral move. Maybe they're unhappy in their current position and want to make a move in the same employment sector, to use the traditional resources that we discussed a few minutes ago of LinkedIn, the job boards, Career Builder, Indeed. Another wonderful resource in our communities is the one-stop center, the CareerLink system in Pennsylvania, is a valuable asset in terms of helping folks find those other jobs that can be done virtually through their system, as well as certainly many people prefer to sit with somebody and explore those kinds of things, and the CareerLinks can help us with that. The other type scenario that a number of listeners might be thinking about is that of re-careering, we might say, where a person, again, is looking to get possibly into a different job, but also in a different employment sector. For most people, that would require perhaps some kind of education or short-term training or industry credential that allows them to do that. Real simple example of that is if a person is in a career, wants a short-term training program like a CDL, I think nurse aide had been mentioned. Those are short-term training programs that can put people immediately into a different sector. So I think one of the things that folks could do is examine the labor market. We've been talking about that. What are the hot jobs? What are the areas where there is employment opportunity in the area in which you want to live? And look at what kinds of skills or academic credentials might be needed to obtain those positions. So it's really a sequencing of looking at the jobs. Do you possess those skills and abilities and credentials? And if you don't, then you might seek some kind of training information. There are a number of financial aid resources out there, and that's not bound by age. That's just more bound by economic circumstances and the number of people that are supported in the family. So we always encourage folks to apply in post-secondary for financial aid if they're eligible. It's a free application. Many people are familiar with it, but it does enable people to obtain Pell Grants and possibly FIA, our state resource. So those are some ways I think that folks can find some hope and some optimism about getting out of a situation if they're unhappy with it or if it is not enough to sustain their family.
Sue Green, we're really talking about some of the basics. If that that job persons, that employed persons Google search lands them on Penn State First, they might follow through to some of the programs and look at the tuition and say, holy smokes. But you're here to say that there's discounts associated with the chamber. As Susan just said, that there's, of course, grants and aid and all kinds of things available. And earlier you talked about some entry-level programs. So make sure you click on the Penn State icon also while you're doing this.
Well, the other thing, I just want to also agree with Chris.
Does it roar?
Does it roar? You can do your own roar.
Well, Mark will get some phone calls.
Yeah, I don't need we don't need any more qualifiers for our tickets, so we're good. Anyway.
But I do want to, with what's been said, especially what Chris said, you know, Google is your best friend. And it's interesting, after you get over the shock of trying to figure out what do I want to do next or when I grow up in your midlife career, you need to be your own advocate. You need to do your homework. You need to be out there, you know, looking yourself and looking for those different resources. And we have a lot of places within this region to have it happen. But I can tell you, we just thought from the Penn State side regionally, we just put up a communication strategy for leaders with the keeping in mind it's going to be a brand new course here in November for those folks that are mid-level trying to think, how do they bump to the next piece? You know, where are they now and what are they missing? Mm-hmm. And so that was one of our strategies, thinking where else. Communication is just key regardless of where you are in your space.
Okay, so somebody's in a position, they're mid-level management, low-level management. I believe this is sort of, tick the bull by the horns. Go to your manager and say, what do I need to do to get higher within your organization? Mm-hmm. Now, maybe the organization says, okay, I got to call Sue Green and say, hey, I got a young lady here, a young man who wants to move up. Can you help us get, or do I call Chris and say, Chris, what courses do you have to move up? What can we do as a company internally to put a ladder in so people can come in, get experience, and move up this ladder within the organization? Is that fair enough to
it
for
is
people
fair.
Go to your boss now and figure out what you need to do, because most employers want to keep their employees.
I would agree. It's easier. It's cheaper.
Yes. All employers.
Far less expensive.
Yeah. So, but you have to make the commitment to training and education and see that as a value and a benefit add.
Yeah, and it's not that I always say that is good to have after hours of work. But also, if you're an employer, you need committed during hours of work to move your employees forward.
Sure. And maybe some employers have to just focus on their high potentials. because that's just budgets. You know, dollars are realities.
Right. Christina.
Yeah, I would just love to add that, you know, I've been doing a lot of research in our local community with industry, manufacturing in particular, and they have really moved to an in-house training mm-hmm. program where you can look at, and they do that for their employees during the day. Folks who want to move up, move into different positions, they're maybe not as interested in what they were doing or not as satisfied, but literally put those in-house training programs in so that employee retention is a big thing and loyalty for the employee feels much better for them to know that they've got their back.
Can I throw this out? What is a sustainable wage?
And family-sustaining yeah. wage? Is yes. that what you're asking? Yes. You want a number?
Well, when you say that, there's always been, there's been lower class, there's been middle class, mm-hmm. there's been upper class, and then there's segments within those classes. So at what point do we define a sustainable wage that somebody says, okay, I'm going to have a wife and two children. Mm-hmm. What do we, or what do I, or what does she need to, so is sustainable wages ever identified?
It is identified in the ALICE report.
In the ALICE report?
Yeah,
that's
exactly what this report got to. We always had a sort of an idea of what we meant when we talked about family sustaining or sustaining wages. What the ALICE report did, what the United Way of Pennsylvania did for us, is show us county by county, 67 different specific examples, what do you need for a family of one? What do you need for a family of mm-hmm. five? What do you need if you have a multi-generational family to be sustainable? And that's what this really gets to. And it's why I think we want to start really focusing on the ALICE data, because it really gets to the crux of what we're talking about. On one hand, we always want to recruit those 3,000 knowledge workers that Anubhav Basu tells us we need to recruit to the area. But we want to make sure that folks that are already here are able to take the jobs, move into the careers that exist in the greater Susquehanna Valley, get those family-sustaining wages.
But now, where does technology come into play? Sue, you might all of a sudden Stanford recruits you and says, hey, we would like you to be our senior learning specialist on the East Coast. You get to set up out of an office, you do your jobs from there, but all of a sudden, maybe you're getting paid Stanford wages because they're in California. But anyway, somebody can work live here in central Pennsylvania and still be working in Southwest United States.
Absolutely.
Depending on what their needs are. Service assistants, sales assistants. So it is sort of interesting now, where does technology come in?
I can tell you myself, I telecommuted for the last 20 years. You know, I work out of my home here in Lewisburg.
So you're working in State College, basically, out of Lewisburg.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, and have been.
And you were doing it before it was hip.
Well, I was doing it, yeah, I guess so, in some respect. But on the same token, I think it's definitely making shifts. There's been two sides of the coin on that one. But, I've been really blessed to be able to do so.
And what about consulting? What about people who have that industry experience that they can go out and hang their own shingle and become a consultant and say, I can go in and help this plastics industry, or I can go in and help this packaging company, or, you know, I can help these farmers get better co-op rates or those mm-hmm. things. But people with experiences, you know, don't box yourself in.
Well, that's that entrepreneurial spirit that we talk about. And
I think that founded a country, didn't it?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, Susan, can you stay on the line past 20 after?
Yes.
All right, fabulous. I'm going to have one more short question for you, and then we'll have everybody else make additional remarks after we come back from a break. We talked about a lot of companies may be interested in nurturing the employees who already work for them, helping them to move up in the career. Is that something that Luzerne does, is make sure that you try to inspire employers to make sure that they're, you know, sort of being all they can be to some of the workers who already work for them?
Yes, we have a couple of companies with whom we worked out an apprenticeship program, and we haven't really talked about that. That's an old idea that has a lot of resurgence over the last 5 or 10 years, but it's a great model where individual employees are learning a particular job on the job, and the college provides the related educational instruction around that, the particular ones we work with are around industrial maintenance technician, which is a high skill and high demand type of employment scenario. You know, we were talking about manufacturing being a little softer than we'd like, yet there are certain key positions in manufacturing that we find are needed throughout. We also work pretty closely with employers to help guide curriculum decisions and decisions about equipment we might be purchasing for training, technology we might be purchasing for training, to make sure it's relevant for the students so that when they graduate, when they're done with their program, they're using and familiar with the equipment and instructional technology that they'll use on the job.
All right, Susan, you go back on hold, if you don't mind, for another few moments, and we'll be back with you very shortly. And at the same time you were answering that question, the rest of our panel was shaking their head yes when they talked about trying to inspire employers to make sure that they're going to look to their employees before they even place an ad up on the work refrigerator. They're going to keep talking about that. We are going to open up the phone lines for our final 5 minutes or so with our guests. So, quickie questions. There's two emails pending on this topic, so we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back on our Financial Friday Roundtable discussion shortly here.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC Way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Thank you. Good Nittany Lion type music. We appreciate that. Thank you so much. Yes, Sue's the only one that laughs out loud though, when she hears it. Sue Green is chair of the chamber, Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, and director of the Penn State Executive Programs in the have that title today, correct?
No, I started this in July 1.
You did. Oh, July 1.
I made the shift.
Senior Learning Strategy. Oh, geez, I was out of date before.
I
got the cards yesterday, Mark. You're good.
Super. Okay. And with us in the studio, Christina Herman is here, a CSIU Career Ready Specialist, and Susan Spry is on the line. She is a Luzerne County Community College Vice President for Applied Technologies and Workforce Development. Bob Garrett, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, is here, and Ben Reichle is our business person. We're going to do our wrap-up discussions. We have 5 minutes left. Let's talk to Susan first. Some additional remarks that really talk to us about what you can do, and maybe also I'll weave into that, if I could, what is the spark? There might be a little required inspiration. You know, maybe it's reading a book or learning how to lean in or something that might help people do this. What can provide some inspiration and what might be there? Susan Spry.
I think just the accessibility of resources in the area and looking at how a person's life might be different. You know, sometimes I think when people are struggling, that struggle becomes familiar to them, and it's harder to break out to see that there are other opportunities and other ways that people can improve their situation. So sometimes, you know, I know sometimes we say you can't wait for the motivation, you just have to start somewhere. Just dig in and start somewhere. I think some of the panelists made great suggestions about, you know, starting with a Google search, starting with someone at your employment scenario if you want to move up within the organization, starting by reaching out, and then others can help guide you from there. They can help lift you if you're feeling overwhelmed with things.
All right, Susan, you got an open mic here anytime. Check back in. We have our 7 a.m. Sunrise show, and you can come back on this show again. We'd love to have you in person, too, for further discussion. Susan, thank you so much for checking in today.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Susan Spry from Luzerne County Community College. Sue Green, additional remarks on our topic. I added this, where does maybe some of the inspiration come from, Sue?
I think it's from within. And I just have a real quick tidbit on transferable skills. There's 5 generations in the workplace today. So just be really cautious and thoughtful about your resume and your cover letter. Don't make it look like you did this 15, 20 years ago. Do some research there and make it look a little different. So your transferable skills, and make it match whatever the job is that you're looking for. And tag to that.
5 generations in the workforce, so 5 generations in this building. So
well, there
I think
you go.
That's definitely true. Christina, same thing. Help us wrap up. And I added the caveat that there's got to be an inspirational spark, whether it's an employer or an employee out there.
There are actually a ton of very easy reads that I think people could really take a look at. And one that comes to my mind is called Finding Your Spark. We do that with school districts to help them understand how to get, if there were no barriers to your life, what would you want to do today given no barriers? And so the biggest thing is, what does that look internally? It's a great resource. The only other thing I want to add is that out of the box thinking exists today for a lot of folks, taking a risk. If you take a look at, if I'm a person who wants to go look for a new position, actually going on directly to the website of companies after you look at maybe Department of Labor and Industry, see where the top jobs are in your region. They do a ton of research to bring that right to you. Click on some of those employers and actually look at what their opportunities are. You'll be amazed at how much is available that we have that is unmet need, skills that are disconnected, and trying to build that specialized program that, you know, like any kind of a CTC or community college does. I think it's amazing. If you did the research on a company, you'd see what opportunities available directly to you.
All right, Bob, an additional remark?
Yeah, getting back to the spark, what the chamber tries to do with our members, with the employers of the greater Susquehanna Valley. By the way, that's 700 businesses in the valley, or a little more than that, representing 53,000 employees. And it might be a little bit of a bumper strip, but I think it's accurate. And it is that it's not so much the question is, what if we train them and they leave? It's, what if we don't train them and they stay? You want your company to move forward. You want to be able to communicate across those 5 generations that Sue mentioned. You want your folks to take advantage of the continuum of education that we have here in the greater Susquehanna Valley. Great secondary schools, award-winning vocational schools, now 2 campuses of community colleges, the Career Ready Index that you heard about, or Future Ready, being ready for the future. We have a nationally, internationally known research university here. We have nationally known universities. We have all of those options available, and all we ask is that folks take advantage of the options that they have.
And Dr. Lanier Allam, the Susquehanna Valley Community Education Project, sent a note highlighted is the sentence, the only entity proven to mitigate this level of demand is an independent, regionally sponsored community college, of which she's a strong advocate, and the chamber's somewhat on board, right?
Oh, yeah.
Certainly on board.
That's the Susquehanna Valley Community Education Project, and we're doing everything we can to make sure we have a solid continuum of education in the valley.
And Financial Friday, Bob Garrett of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, Sue Green, Chair of the Chamber, and a Senior Learning Specialist at Penn State, Christina Herman of the CSIU, a Career Ready Specialist, Susan Spry was on the line from Luzerne County Community College. Ben, you have to stay. Our next segment is on the line. Thank you all for participating. Thanks for coming in today.
Have a great day.
Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. We have a guest on the line. We typically talk to him during WKOK Sunrise about some of the very timely programs that go on at Susquehanna University. But Dr. Alexander Riley is with us, professor of sociology at Bucknell. He's an author. One of his books about the 9/11 and its role in contemporary society. Thank you so much for calling in, Dr. Riley.
My pleasure, Mark. Thanks very much for having me.
Very much appreciated. You'll talk to the Susquehanna Valley Conservatives Monday night. A preview of that conversation. Where are you going with your conversation on Monday?
The central thing I want to talk to the group about on Monday is just we're almost 20 years from the 9/11 attacks now. So it's the the historical footprint of 9/11, I think, and more specifically, the lack of a historical footprint, especially on younger Americans, that I want to talk about a little bit. It's kind of startling to me. Every year, I teach courses in which, in a good number of them, I talk at least briefly about 9/11 as a piece of American history. Sometimes I even have students read a little bit from the book that I wrote on the topic a few years ago, which has to do most specifically with the Flight 93, the plane that was involved in the 9/11 attacks that went down here in Pennsylvania. And it's every year I'm more and more startled by how little students know about the attacks and how little they know about the overall meaning of those attacks, I think, in the framework of contemporary American history. So that'll be the central theme I want to talk about, is just the way in which it seems like that moment that those of us who lived through it would have had a difficult time then, I think, imagining that Americans would be capable of forgetting it, but just the recognition that, in fact, there's some evidence that younger Americans are forgetting. So that'll be the main topic I want to get at.
Professor, this is Ben Reichle. I would agree with you 100%, and I don't know if young people so much are forgetting it, but they're not reminded of it. We have a media
that seems
to want to cover this up. I compare 9/11 to when I talked to my mother and I talked to folks that were my grandparents' ages, and, you know, we talked to people 70s and 80s. This is the modern day Pearl Harbor, I believe, for the generation that we have now. And again, it's the coding of the media that plays this down, particularly because of the political correctness.
I think you're onto something very powerful there. I would expand the web of responsibility for the absence of discussion of 9/11 even more widely. It's not only the mass media, although they have a fair amount of responsibility. I think it's a number of other institutions, including educational institutions, and including just, I think, every older American who knows something about this, who for whatever reason just doesn't communicate it to younger folks. I think this is, I can see a little anecdotal version of it. It's often in conversations with my 14-year-old daughter about history. She has the perspective on history that probably a lot of 14-year-olds have. That is, her framework is history's boring, and there's nothing interesting going on there. And the task for the older generations with respect to young people like my daughter is to inform them that, in fact, it's not boring, and in fact it's necessary to know some of this stuff. And in fact, it's almost impossible to imagine having an identity as a country and as a society, if you don't have some storehouse of these kinds of events. Pearl Harbor is another great example, and 9/11 is the more contemporary example. A storehouse of these kinds of events that give us a sense of who we are and of what it means to be American, and of what are the things that have made us the country that we are.
No, I'd agree, and I don't believe it helps when a congresswoman makes the statement that some people did something. That pretty much dilutes it and almost just makes a mockery of really what happened. You only talk about what happened in New York, but what happened in Washington, D.C. But I believe those ladies and gentlemen on the Flight 93 flight were true American patriots, because that plane was going somewhere, to the White House, to Capitol Hill, and those people took over that plane, and the cowards who were flying it crashed it into the ground. And if people can get out to see that memorial, it is a site that is very solemn. You have hundreds of people walking around, and you can hear a pin drop.
I couldn't agree more about the memorial, the Flight 93 memorial. And in fact, that and some of the other efforts to memorialize Flight 93 and what the passengers on that plane did are a big chunk of what I was trying to do in the book that I wrote on that. In fact, one of the other things that I want to really spend some time talking about Monday and that I spend time with students with virtually every year, is just to emphasize, to give them some background, some real meat on the bones of who those heroes were on Flight 93. And also there's several other heroes who were involved in the commemoration of what happened on Flight 93 that I spent some time talking with students about, and that I'm going to talk about one of those heroes on Monday. This was Father Alphonse Mascherino, who was the Catholic priest who, he basically on his own initiative, he put together this Flight 93 chapel that still exists out in Shanksville as a commemorative site for the passengers and for the deed that the passengers accomplished on Flight 93. If I have a minute or two, I'd just like you to read. This is a passage that I quoted in my book, that Father Mascherino, he spoke these words at one of the Flight 93, or at the 9/11 commemoration out at the site a few years ago. And he said something along these lines virtually every year when he was out there doing the annual commemorative events on 9/11. And I think it's hard to better capture the meaning of Flight 93 and of 9/11 than these words that Father Mascherino spoke at the chapel. He said, "I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thunder on the mountain is the message of Flight 93. As the plane crashed in the field at Shanksville, it exploded and could be heard all across the hills, and it shook the houses, and people heard it for miles around. That's how powerful is the message of Flight 93. Once we understand it, it will explode upon our hearts. Never surrender. That is the message. On September 11, 2001, the old world passed away forever and can never be restored the way it was. The old heavens and the old earth passed away. And behold, God said, I create all things anew, and this time I give you 40 new stars, 40 stars to guide you in the darkness of terror." And of course, by the 40 new stars, Father Mascherino was speaking specifically about the 40 passengers and crew members on Flight 93. So I think those words are pretty powerful, and communicating that kind of information about the event and about the way in which Americans who survived the event tried to commemorate it and tried to mark it as a piece of American history. We can give that to younger people on a regular basis, you know, give them a steady diet of that kind of information, then it becomes a little harder, I think, for them to just to move on to whatever next bit of trivial information the media has given them. And instead, I think they might be more inclined to spend some more time thinking about this event.
For folks who may not know, give us sort of the overview of just how pivotal 9/11 was, how it was a pivot point in every aspect of our society and our life and our technology and our government. For any young person who says, well, something happened to somebody or some people did something and it was an incident back in 2001, give us a description of how our world changed that day.
Well, I think one of the ways that I do this initially with students, and especially this becomes particularly powerful for students who are, as they are these days, often so young that they weren't even born yet at the time of the attacks, or if they were, they were 1 or 2 years old. I'll just go back and show them some of the news footage, especially the news footage that was, you know, the programs that were taking place in the wake of the first strike on the World Trade Center and before the second plane hit, so that they can see here's the lived experience that a good chunk of the country had of this unbelievably tragic and horrible event. So you can see just the confusion, the terror, the fact that people are trying to put together on the spot, in the moment, they're trying to figure out what's going on. There's really nothing, you know, again, we have Pearl Harbor, we have various other horrific things that happened in the history of the country, the assassination of President Kennedy, a number of other things, but none of them were captured in the live video sense that 9/11 was captured. So there's just there's a huge amount of video material. Young students respond particularly well to that kind of information because of the fact that they've been raised in a culture where that stuff is omnipresent. And so sometimes just giving them some of that stuff, it helps to get them into at least an approximation of the world that those of us who were around in 2001 and who were watching television that morning and saw some of this stuff happen, gives them a little bit of a visceral sense of how that felt. And so at that level, it's trying to get them to experience the power and the horror of that event. I think that's important. A lot of people, I talk to friends who occasionally will tell me it's important that we shield students from that, and that we not expose students too much to those kinds of things, because it can evoke unpleasant things. It can even potentially scar them, et cetera. My general position is that I don't share that view. Yeah, I think students have to be there are things that students have to be exposed to if they're to fully understand the realities of the world. Yeah, and these are some of those things.
Yeah, Professor, what the part about it, particularly at a college, aren't you trying to open up students to understand or to see or to review all sides of issues or understanding this? The videos, if you want to get into the details, what about where they show the people literally jumping out of the buildings because they were going to burn to death? My question, though, is after you go through this detail with them, do you get a number of students that say, geez, I didn't know this was that big of an event?
Well, of course. There are a number of students who, in fact, I think the majority of students, they certainly have a sense that this was a big deal, and that it's important to recognize its importance at some level. But they don't know a lot of the details. And certainly, once we get into, you just mentioned a particularly awful element of those. In fact, there's a whole documentary film made called "The Falling Man," which is about that one specific image of someone who had either fallen or had jumped from one of the towers. That was published in a number of newspapers the day after, and then created a huge uproar because a fair amount of the folks who saw that image were so unsettled by it that they thought it should be beyond the pale and shouldn't have been published in the papers. I'll sometimes have them watch that movie or have them watch parts of that movie, and this is, by and large, this is stuff that they don't know. And once they get into some of those details, you're exactly right. They start to realize how little they know about it, how much. Once they start to fill in some of this information, how much bigger the event becomes in their view, how much more important it becomes. A lot of the students become interested enough that they want to go off after my class and further inform themselves
and learn more.
So I think that's the goal.
That's excellent, and it's sad that they have to, because why our media and our education folks will not let this story be as where it should be. It should be a monumental event in of course the beginning of this century for the United States, and it should be understood on all angles. But it's certainly interesting that your students then have, they're then. Made their appetite to find more information, and isn't that what college is all about?
That certainly is the way I think about it. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. And I think with respect to this event, if I were to summarize what my goal is with students, and I think just more broadly as well. So this is why I speak not only to students in my class, but when groups outside of Bucknell are interested in hearing me, as the SVC has been interested in hearing me, I'm perfectly happy and thrilled to talk with them about this. I think the goal is to recognize that this is the kind of thing, this is the kind of event, the kind of piece of American history that we should be talking about and remembering more frequently than just once a year. And even if you just pay attention to the way in which it's commemorated, especially in the mainstream media, on September 11th, every year the coverage gets a little thinner, and every year it becomes a little more cliche and a little more formulaic and a little less full and a little less concerned with some of the deeper meaning of 9/11. This is, in my view, it's not, once a year is not enough to remember this. Once a year is not enough to recall these folks on Flight 93 who led the attempt to take back the plane. It's not enough just once a year to remember people like Father Alphonse Mascherino, and to remember the other folks, the first responders out in Shanksville and elsewhere, mm-hmm. who in Shanksville, these were the folks who, the first memorial, in fact, out there, well before there was any plan to build a permanent memorial, the first memorial was a temporary memorial that was put up by the people who were out there trying to help in recovery and trying to help in, you know, initially they thought perhaps there might be some survivors out there, and so they were out there trying to see to the possibility of helping those people, and they were the folks who built the first memorial out in Shanksville. We should think about them more than once a year. In mind.
Dr. Alexander Riley, thank you so much for the information. You're going to talk to the Susquehanna Valley Conservatives at a free open meeting on Monday night up at the Country Covered Best Western Inn. Thank you for the preview and for all this information. To be continued, we really appreciate all your help, and you've been kind enough to give us information about every year as well, to keep us informed and up to date on this, so we appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure, Mark. Thanks again.
Do appreciate that. Dr. Alexander Riley, a Bucknell University professor of sociology, clearly passionate about and expert in the 9/11 attacks and the fallout and impact, and then this lack of knowledge and discussion and education and media attention to the anniversaries since then. So
we appreciate that. It's not only this. It's other parts of American history.
All right. Oh, yeah, that's true. History has just fallen by the wayside all across the board. All right. We are going to talk about that 9/11, the forgotten event, is our topic. We'll take callers and emails and open phones for the last 5 or 6 minutes of our show. We'll take our last break of the morning. We'll come back and we'll invite you to call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, we got two emails pending, a caller waiting. Ben's got something to say, so we're going to open up the mic. But first, I got to tell you about the same thing I have done. I already know what my next truck looks like. I went to sunburymotor.com. I picked out a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln and built it to my precise specification. For me, it's a Ford Raptor Ranger with the V6 engine and the 6-foot bed and the double cabs. It's a long truck. The gasoline mileage still in the mid-20s, and it's a super truck. And I got the power rear window, so I'm flying in style. But you can do the same thing.
Brush guards on.
Oh,
there.
It's got it all. It's a Raptor, baby. It looks like a Tonka toy that somebody put a bunch of clamps on or something, with lights and sound bars, you name it. It's a hot truck. But it's a Ford. But you can build a Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln to your precise specifications, whatever vehicle. Believe it or don't, it would be conceivably possible. They don't have the pre-owned or new vehicle you want on the lot or the lots, so therefore go ahead and speculatively build your vehicle. Hit send, go down there with a deposit, and guess what? That truck is yours to own at the Sunbury Motor Company, and they're the sponsor of the On the Mark show. Bobby D., you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, good morning, everyone. You know, with respect to history, and of course, you know, not only September 11th, but, of course, in my own life, the first major event that I can remember was when John F. Kennedy was assassinated and we were sent home from school. But, I mean, history has to do with, you know, where we were, but looking it into perspective of where we are now and where we could go in the future. And, you know, whether it's going through the 72 flood in this area or Three Mile Island or anything else, I think more about history should be emphasized.
All right. Yeah, great. Good point. Yeah, thank you so much, Bob. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Yep, thank you. Emailer, when we were talking about jobs, says, good morning. I like to say people can get jobs that pay way above minimum wage in our area without extra education at the local prisons, or without extra education, period, at the local prisons and home care agencies starting $12 an hour or higher, says Bob. We appreciate that. All of Lanier Allam's email comment, good roundtable of aligning organizations on the mark this morning with 2,000 high-priority job openings in the Central Pennsylvania Workforce Development Corporation footprint. The only entity proven to mitigate this level of demand is an independent, regionally sponsored community college. The residents strongly identify with their own community college going culture and will attend and work their way up the career ladder with comprehensive student services and innovative and effective guided pathways. Thanks, says Lanier Allam.
No, you hope so. You hope so. You hope. At some point, I'm going to say this. You know, what are high schools doing to prepare students that now when students get out, they have to have other preparations, which I understand that. But at some point, can we get the whole system working together? Which I hope so, where, you know, I understand now high school students are taking college courses in high school. Okay, so then when they get to college, are they learning more? So when they get out, then they get into a field and then grow in that field, and then they need more. So yeah, I hope a coordination of all the workforce development groups could be put in place so the efficiencies for employers, because there's a number of businesses and employers who look to then have to do their own training in-house when maybe they could coordinate with some of the local educational institutes. But Mark, in reality, we're educating people for jobs that might not exist in the future. I mean, the way technology and the way things are changing. So, again, maybe education to a degree teaches you to learn, and then you can, you know, keep moving with that educational process into your career.
Well, I said earlier this week I want to be a trucker when I grow up, and guess what? They said, well, a lot of trucks are going to be autonomously driven in the future.
Yeah, so maybe you'll be just a conductor on a truck. But I like the I'm going to reveal this. I like the conversation you had off the air with the folks that were here, that you want to do a syndicated radio show across the nation, and you're going to pursue that career. So could On the Mark be
going?
Yeah,
they inspired me to get the heck out of here.
They gave you that mid-range change in your life.
Yeah, one of our listeners sent me a note on my text and said, Mark, you do not have a dead-end job. You're not stuck at a red light, and you earn a family-sustaining wage, so please change your metaphor.
Hey, folks, get out to your high school games tonight, but also get out to your soccer and field hockey and cross-country matches this fall for the high school students.
Yeah, the young people are doing super well around here. Thank you, Ben. You'll be in the catbird seat in 1 week. I'll be day off. I'll be listening. I'll be in the region and enjoy. So thanks. That you'll be across from Steve Kushaloff, and Chris Elio will be in next week. Joe McGranahan and Rob Center will be the glue that keeps it all together. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.